the founder of our Methodist movement, and we are talking about his life, his sermon, and his ministry, and some doctrines and theology. So if I may summarize all of his sermons and theology and doctrine, I think I can find three vocabularies: love, grace, and humility. Love is the nature of God. Without love, we cannot express or explain who God is and what God has done in our lives and what God wants us to be and do. That is all about love. And grace, it is the way of God expressing God's love and bringing salvation and hope and peace to us. And the last one is humility. I believe that is the best of the best legacies we have from Jesus. Have you noticed that before the time of Jesus, none of culture or ideology talks about humility is the best? Jesus changed that one. And we call Jesus our Lord and Savior. So love, grace, and humility, they are manifested in all of his sermon, John Wesley's sermon, belief, and doctrines, and those penetrate the core of the gospel. And these words, we need to remember that. And with all of these words, the one thing, if I say just one thing that we need to remember is, that is God. It's simple. It's all about God. It's all about God. And I found a short video clip on Facebook, and I think that tells a lot about how we see God's grace. It's funny. Did you see that? Oh. The boy is trying to shovel but his father does all the work. So last week we talked about God's prevenient grace, and we have our own brokenness in our broken world. We broke the image of God because of our wrong desire and decision and sin. But even before we realized our brokenness and our relationship with God, God was already working on it. God initiates our restoration. That is all about God's prevenient grace. We talked about that. And there are two more senses of grace: justifying grace and sanctifying grace. So I want to make it really short. To make it short, justifying grace is what God does for us through Jesus Christ, and sanctifying grace is what God does in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a little bit, sounds almost the same, a little bit different. And I told you, it's all about God who initiates. And it is all about God who calls us and encourages us on our faith journey. And we respond to God's love, grace, and calling. So Wesley talks about God's justifying grace. So when I say, yes, God, I know you know me. I know you love me. And I want to do something. And that's the moment we find God's justifying grace. God's love, pardoning, forgiveness, and cleaning all my mess. All the mess that I had made. Even the dark moment that I have not spoken to my spouse or my close friends. At the moment, God says, I know what you have done. I know all the mess you made, but I still love you. But I still love you. You start over. You start over. And God is the God of the second chance. It's a new start in our lives, in our relationship with God and others. And we call that born again. Sometimes born from above. Jesus mentioned. So no matter what you have done before, when you say, yes, God, I know you, I believe in you, and I truly believe you are working in my life, that's the moment we have a new start and we become a totally different person by God's justifying grace. But we don't change that much, right? Being born again, that doesn't mean we become completely holy. We are still human. I'm still just a human being standing on where I am. I'm still struggling with what I have done before and what I have struggled with. And we look the same. We look the same even after justifying grace. But what changed through justifying grace is inside of us, in our faith journey, standing on the starting point, starting line, so that we may begin to praise God in our lives. So praising God, what does that mean? How can we do that? It means more than simply reading the Bible and singing hymns every day. It means living by God's will. So next step after the justifying grace, that is done by God's sanctifying grace. Then how can we live our lives as the children of God on earth? How can we be the person whom God wants us to be? How can we rebuild our relationship with God and image in ourselves? God's image. So we are still talking about John Wesley. I told you he was really crazy. He was nerd. He really worked really hard and he traveled to 290,000 miles to preach gospel, first on foot and horse and later carriages. He preached even 3 days before he died, in a wheelchair some kind. He preached in big city and small towns, and he preached in many farmland and plain field and marketplaces, and he preached God's grace is free for all the people and God knows you. That changed everything. God knows each one of you and God loves you and God welcomes you and God can change you, everything, completely upside down. And people gathered around him. And there was something more. He didn't just preach just, you need to believe, believe, believe. No, there was something more which Wesley preached. We talked about God's love for us and asking people to accept this love and salvation and cultivate their personal relationship with God. So when you talk about that, it is often called evangelical gospel, one side, one of them. And these days, when you hear evangelical, we have some kind of stereotype, right? Typical image. Some particular groups of conservative Christian people, not all the conservative Christian people, but it is not what it really means. Evangelical means good news for us, for all the people. Evangelism means that we ask people to walk on their personal relationship with God. So whenever people say evangelical church, evangelical people, in a particular way, I'm confused. So it is all about God's calling, God's grace and salvation for us. And it is clear what Wesley preached about. So we need to remember that. But if we remain that way, that's going to be only the half, one half of the gospel John Wesley preached. So after people came to Christ, Wesley said, now the rest of your journey sanctification. Sanctification means be holy. You need to be holy. Wesley taught that people, you and I, we are meant to follow Christ to completely transformed over a lifetime. It is an ongoing lifetime journey so that we may reach a certain level of human being which God wants us to be. Sometimes, I want to say, just like a sci-fi movie, okay, if I see one person, okay, maybe his faith journey is level 1, level 2, level 3, and if I look at the mirror, okay, oh, now today I am on stage 3. But it is not what Wesley talked about. It is a lifetime ongoing journey, and it is not about who's going to have a ticket to heaven. Yes, we really want to go there, we really want to have that one, but it is not about sanctification Wesley talked about. It is all about a way of life. A way of life. With that understanding, Wesley talked about two senses of holiness. We need to be holy in two ways to understand the sanctification: inward holiness and social holiness. Inward holiness is a pure heart. Pure heart in our intention. Pure mind to pursue our relationship with God. So we do that. We do that through our daily prayer, reading the Bible, and communion, fasting, praising, and worshiping God. And they are called the means of grace, which means we taste and feel God's grace through these ways, means of grace. These are critical part of our faith journey to sense God's grace and come close to God. And Wesley also preached about social holiness. It is equally important as inward holiness. It is the holiness we see where there is a need. We find the people who need. We try to find, offer what you may do, help. In order to help the people to restore their lives, restore this brokenness, where we see broken people in many ways, where we see the sin of this world continue to grow and make people broken, we find something to do in God's grace. And that is social holiness. We may find something we may do. That's why we do a lot of ministry. So last week we talked about John Wesley moving into a small town, mining town. Some people call that hopeless town, Kingswood, where nobody want to go there. But John Wesley not only just moved in and preached the gospel, but also built a hospital and a school. That changed everything. Everything in that town, and that is from his social holiness. So these two holiness, in our church we are doing both of them. We gather together every Sunday and read the Bible and praise hymns, and I encourage you to read the Bible every day, and you may do meditation, and about 30 people I'm sending the Bible verse every day in the morning. And we read that, and we pray that, pray for that. And that is all about inward holiness. We meditate the Word of God, we focus on God, and asking God's voice, God's nudging in our lives. God, what can I do? How can I live my life today? Or you may listen to your radio while you're driving, K-Love or WBGN. You find the radio or while you are washing your dishes and thinking about that. All of those actions and gatherings are a good way to seek our inward holiness. And for social holiness, our church is doing so many ministry. And I'm so proud of you. Our pet ministry, body bag, and fish ministry, and so many of them. And we are doing ministry not only in our local community, but also around the world. For example, one of them is our loose coin goes to somewhere which I did not pronounce well. And some of you remember nothing but gnat or imagine no malaria, right? Usually when we do work, I mean, in our denomination or conference or in our church, I feel we are so terrible at marketing and having the report. Many years ago, we did, I mean, as a denomination, imagine no malaria, and I believe we did that too, right? And usually we don't get feedback, report back. But did you know that before that project, there was one child dying by malaria every 15 seconds. Every 15 seconds. But now, the rate, the death rate reduced down to 20%. That means 4 kids out of 5 who could have been killed, they are now alive. This project saved a lot of children. That is what we have done. We saved by God's grace. That is a part of social holiness. And we find so many hundreds and thousands places. We are thinking just, okay, I do pad ministry, I do body bag, and I do donation a little bit. But we are doing not only in our local community, but also around the world. We need to remember that we are doing that because we are the people of God who find God's grace first. And that is a part of the things the way we respond to God's grace. So for this journey to be holy, we need this community, the community of faith. We need friends and colleagues in our faith journey so that we may help and encourage one another. Yes, a lot of people, we may say, okay, I feel God every day. I read the Bible. Yes, you're right. But we need colleague. We need support group because we cannot be perfect alone. And these days, I'm thinking, these days we have 120 or 130 people in our Sunday. Okay? And I can imagine, what if we give hope and deliver the good news to the people? Just one person in a month. One person a month in our local community. Then more than 100 people in our town will hear and feel God's love every month. Every month, what if we give bulletin or some Bible verse to our friend? One person a month. Then 100, more than 100 people will receive God's love and they could feel and know God loves them. That there is a contemporary Christian music, Do Something, Do Something. Oh, yes. Sometimes I'm kind of missing some slides. There is a music, Do Something. It's kind of a dialogue between God and a person who sees violence, poverty, and injustice on earth. And the person, I found myself in that person. The person was shouting and yelling at God, "What are you doing? God, what are you doing? Do you not see all the violence and domestic violence and human trafficking and injustice? Do something. Do something. Change everything." Then God replied, "Yes, indeed, I hear their cry. I see the violence, poverty, and injustice. And I did something. I created you."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a part of what you are made to be and called to do. We see so many things broken in this broken world. And God restored our brokenness in us first through Jesus Christ, and God encourages us, each one of us, to do something for the restoration in our friends, family, and this world. That is God's strategy. And we can be the messenger of God to the world. So we are marching. We are marching on our faith journey to be holy and becoming more like, every day, more like Jesus until we breathe the last. In the end, just imagine them, picture them. God is going to hug you. And God is going to say, you have done a great job. You have done a great job. You are my daughter. You are my son. I love you. You have done a great job. And that's the moment we make perfection. It's really hard, right? We want all the things happen right away. God, I want to qualify. I want to be perfect right away. But we cannot be there until the last moment God embraced us. That's the moment we become perfect in God. In our faith journey, it is an ongoing process. We need to remember that. And we need to march together. And God is going to walk with you, encouraging you and guiding you. Amen.